All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossone.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jim Fossone in for Dale. He's off on a little R&R, taking in a music camp with this summer. A beautiful summer day for it with his son and grandsons, I believe. So I'm the officer of the deck. We've got a great show, number of guests lined up that I think we'll find provide you some interesting information. And if you have any questions, the call-in number is 734-822-1600. So feel free to call in. We'll try to answer your questions as they come in. And we always have some interesting ones. So please do call in at 734-822-1600. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. We can't do this without them, in particular, National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. They are the nation's leading certifier of veteran-owned businesses. You can find more about NVBDC.org by going to that website. If you're a business owner that's owned by a veteran, there's a lot of value in going through the process to be certified, to get work with corporate America, as well as the federal or state government. We also want to thank Legal Help for Veterans, being one of our longtime sponsors. Legal Help for Veterans does veterans disability work. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or go to legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. The VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System also helps us out, and we're very appreciative of that, as does a number of VSO posts in Ann Arbor, the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, the VFW Post 423, and American Legion Post 46. So we want to thank all of those sponsors. We've got a number of guests that we're going to bring forward today to talk about the PACT Act, among other things. And I think you'll find that informative for our vets who have been overseas and exposed to burn pits. We also have on the brains of the outfit, David Sames, the director of the Washtenaw County Department of Veteran Affairs, and Brigadier General Carol Ann Fossone, a longtime veteran advocate. We also are bringing on an attorney, Catherine Grohl, who's going to talk about some of that litigation aspect under the PACT Act down in North Carolina. But before we get to that, we'd like to talk a little bit about some upcoming events. Maybe you haven't seen them. You'll probably hear this one if you don't, so we're going to give you a heads up on it, that Thunder Over Michigan. Yankee Air Museum is putting that on. It'll be here August 12th and 13th. It's always a great time. It's inspirational for the kids, but you get to see a bunch of cool airplanes as well. So take the kids or the grandkids or the nieces and nephews out. You can find more out at yankeeairmuseum.org. They've got some cool lineups. On the website, you can actually see which airplanes are flying at what time. You want to see a F-22 Raptor. How about a B-29 Super Fortress? Those are huge. Maybe it's a P-47 Thunderbolt or a Corsair from World War II. Really cool planes. And as I say, you won't be disappointed. They always throw a great event. That's August 12th and 13th. Go to yankeeairmuseum.org to learn more of that information. Friends of ours, we just actually put an interview together with the Fallen and Wounded Soldier Fund. They're going to have a golf outing on September 11th. It's one of their big fundraisers. So you might want to go to fwsf.org to check that out and help them out as they help Michigan veterans in need. They tell me that last year they helped out 400 veterans who had emergency needs that this nonprofit was able to respond to. And our sponsor, NVBDC's got an upcoming event I want to alert you to as well. We've talked about it a couple times, but I want to make sure we give it its due. And that's NVBDC is going to have an event in Detroit. Later this year, they'll have one down, I believe, in Kentucky, but this one's in Detroit at the Federal Reserve Building, where they put together veteran business owners and corporate sponsors, corporate members who want to hire veteran-owned businesses. So if you want to mix and mingle with those folks and maybe get your foot in the door, or even just see what NVBDC really does in the networking area, we'd encourage you to mark that on your calendar. As I said, it's August 10th. You have to pre-register. So go to nvbdc.org to look into that. And I think you'll find that pretty interesting stuff as well. There was one other thing that crossed my desk this month that I thought I'd bring to our veteran radio listeners, and that is the VA adopted a new motto, what they refer to as a more inclusive model. So the motto always has been, since 1959, kind of revolving around President Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, where he noted it was the nation's responsibility to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphans. Well, we know now that women have been serving since the dawn of the nation, but more importantly, their numbers have really escalated, and it's 15 to 19% of the force and of the veterans are now women. And so VA has adopted a spin on that model that really is a little more inclusive and captures the whole idea, which is the motto now is, and you'll see this on their materials, quote, to fulfill President Lincoln's promise to care for those who served our nation's military and for their families, caregivers, and survivors. And we'll talk about caregivers and survivors and families probably later in the show, answering some questions. So again, just wanted to point out that interesting model change that the VA started, and I think it's probably for the times a really good one. So what we're going to do now is move to Catherine Grohl. She is an attorney in Mike Cox's law firm in the state here of Michigan. Mike Cox is a former attorney general for the state of Michigan and is a Marine. He also has a couple of kids in the military service presently. Mike spends a lot of time helping veterans, but I wanted to invite one of his attorneys on, and Catherine Grohl, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim. It is absolutely my pleasure to be here today.
Well, you know, the PACT Act, which we've talked about a couple of times since it was passed last August, has all kinds of different provisions and features in them. Some deal with exposure in Vietnam. Some of them deal with exposure to burn pits over in Iraq and Afghanistan. But there is a provision in there that you're going to be asked to talk about, and that is, the government said, hey, we realize that a lot of Marines and others, including family members, were exposed to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. Can you tell us what that provision does and kind of what's going on in this area right now?
Absolutely. If we think of the PACT Act as this enormous umbrella that covers veterans' benefits, Camp Lejeune is one of the coverages under that umbrella, under Section 804. And it provides specific compensation for those Marines. There could be 500,000 to a million of them is the best guesstimate right now, that were exposed to toxic water from August of 1953 till December of 1987. We know that there are attorneys representing at least 390,000 vets right now, and there are 90,000 claims pending in the Department of Navy to be processed for Camp Lejeune claims. Right now, there are 1,030 lawsuits filed. So from a year ago, almost a year ago, till now, there's been a great deal of activity and movement in this little part of the umbrella for Camp Lejeune.
And explain to our listeners, you have to have been at Camp Lejeune for a certain period of time, and you have a limited window to bring these claims. And these aren't to get disability claims. This isn't to get to health care. It's really something different. So explain that all to us.
Well, for the first time in American history in this country, the United States has taken the amazing step of stepping forward and saying, listen, we realize we may have done something wrong here, and we're going to accept some liability for it. So we're going to take that piece out of it, and we're going to set aside $22 billion to compensate those of you, your families, civilian employees, all those people that were exposed during that time frame on the base. They provided a 30-day window to get your benefits. Now, that doesn't have to be successive 30 days, because we know there were a lot of Marines that trained in the reserves every summer for 2 weeks at a time, and they didn't want to disclude them. So all you have to have is a total of 30 days, regardless of the time period, as long as it fits into that window of 53 to 87.
And this is for, you mentioned it, but it's so unique, I want to point it out. So if you were stationed there and your spouse or your kids were there, this allows them to file claims too, if I understand it.
They can not only file claims under the Camp Lejeune section, they're also entitled to Camp Lejeune Family Membership Benefits, which is a registry that allows them to get compensation for medical bills and out-of-pocket expenses and includes medical monitoring. That's unheard of. It's never been offered before.
And this, does this take away from the other benefits I'm entitled to if I file in this? And I need a lawyer, I guess, do I need a lawyer to make a claim to the Navy about this?
So you actually, there's nothing in the statute that requires you to have a lawyer. But I can tell you that some of the people that ended up at our office tried to file on their own, did not complete the form properly, didn't understand all the nuances, and it got sent back to them, and they finally decided to come to us. So I don't want to discourage anybody if you want to do it on your own, but you really have to be particular about that form. The other thing I want to point out is that the statute does have a provision that there may be what's called a set off. If you receive governmental benefits now, while we are processing your Camp Lejeune claim, there is a possibility that the government may want some of that money back at the end from your Camp Lejeune claim. But before anybody starts panicking, I want to tell you that these are negotiable points. There are already people working with the Department of Justice to discuss the nature, extent, and variety of any potential liens that are going to occur here. So there's nothing in stone at this point about how that's going to work or if it's going to happen.
Yeah, this is one of the challenges, I think, for ordinary veterans, which is the rules aren't really established yet. This is so unusual. And it's first run by Department of Navy, and the Department of Justice gets involved. VA doesn't really get involved. What are the rules?
So what I can tell you is that we probably have the best possible judge in the world for this particular case, Judge Dever out of North Carolina. He's a West Point grad. He was a colonel in the Air Force. His father, I believe, was an admiral or a general. He grew up in the service. And he gets the delays, he gets the bureaucracy, and his focus is 100% on getting the vets money early and now. And he's given everybody marching orders. He put together a panel of attorneys that are charged with negotiating with the Department of Justice to create a discovery plan, a database, and a settlement grid, so that everybody can have access to the same information on the Department of Justice side and on the lawsuit side, start sharing information and coming up with values.
So many of us are familiar with class action lawsuits. You know, sometimes you get a mailer in your mail and you said, oh, you had this phone company or that cable company, or you bought this product. It's stuff nobody can read, and it's a big class action. And you know, if you get anything, you get a few pennies on the dollar. Is this lawsuit on my exposure at Camp Lejeune that kind of class action?
It's not. This is unprecedented. It's not multi-district litigation, and it's not class action. These are literally going to be individual lawsuits. Now, the judge told us every one of us would not be on the planet by the time they tried all these cases. It wasn't possible. But he said, all I'm going to let you do is a one-day trial for damages. You got your shot in front of the jury. You put your damages forth, what your vet has suffered, what they've lost, and that's going to be the trial.
And that's assuming that your claim's not approved by, is it first the Department of Navy or is it the Department of Justice?
It's the Department of Navy. And I want to be transparent and honest about this, Jim. There are 85 to 90,000 cases there and not a single offer has been made. We do know that there are only 8 employees that are managing these. They did not fund the Department of Navy when they came up with this statute. They do not have the technology to accept proofs in support of the claims. It's not a good situation.
So it sounds like that step's sort of futile, I got to submit my claim to the Department of Navy, but if they're not funded or staffed up to review individual claims and they all have to be individual claims, isn't that just sort of a automatic rubber stamp deny? And is that your ticket then to be able to file the individual lawsuit?
So they're asking people not to overwhelm the courts right now. With 1,038 cases, it will take them 20 years to try those. They're asking people, even if your claim, your 6-month window has passed, we know from an email from Jennifer Langley, who's the head of the Department of Navy claims, that they're just getting ready to start December now. They're backed up to December of last year in processing these claims. So they're not even getting to them in the 6-month window in which they're filed. So you have the choice of staying in the administrative claim process and hoping that they get to you at some point. You can ask for a Parker denial and jump out whenever you're ready, or you can file the lawsuit.
Well, again, it's pretty complicated to know what's the right thing to do, and that's why maybe some help is necessary. Is there a deadline coming up here, or can you tell us what the statute created as deadlines for this unique opportunity?
For Camp Lejeune, the statute is August 10th, 2024. Now, under the PACT Act, there's a separate statute for the VA disability claims retroactively, and that's August 9th, 2023. We're telling everybody, if you're sure, you're not sure, you're not ready yet, whatever you do, file your intent, preserve your statute of limitations, file your notice of intent. It's an easy form to fill out online, and just preserve your rights until you're ready to do something.
Well, we'll get a chance to talk to David Sames momentarily here on this issue. Because I suspect he's talking to some Marines who are questioning what to do next. Catherine, when we spoke earlier, you mentioned that there was a recent conference, I think maybe it was in Philadelphia, of people trying to understand the best approach forward for the Marines and their families who've had this exposure. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I can tell you that we are understanding that there are epidemiological studies being done with major experts and toxicologists to expand the list of presumptives up to 42 separate illnesses. We are all waiting pins and needles for different studies to come out through the ATSDR. And we think that it's really going to expand the illness quotient once they see the patterns of all the different illnesses that are coming up with the vets. I mean, we see some of these patterns in our own office. I would say that within the next 90 to 120 days, we're going to have some marching orders from the court on deadlines and timeframes on by which they want things done. And the leadership panel he picked is already in D.C. working with the Department of Justice and trying to develop the settlement values and the database, national database for everybody to put their information in.
Well, so maybe there'll be an expansion of the presumptive conditions is what you're saying.
Yes, we believe that there will be.
Okay. And will that just be on the individual lawsuit side, or is this work both being done in conjunction with those who are going the administrative route for VA disability benefits?
So I think that anybody that's going the administrative route is going to be included in that, whether they end up filing a lawsuit or not, because once you file with the Department of Navy, your statute of limitations is told.
Well, it's an interesting opportunity that Congress has created for Marines, family members, civilians who've passed through Camp Lejeune. Can you again remind our listeners sort of what the minimum criteria is to qualify for this opportunity?
Absolutely. You need a total of 30 days collectively in total from the period of August 1st, 1953 through December 31st of 1987, in which you were at Camp Lejeune and drank the water there. That's the minimal criteria. There are 8 or 9 presumptives illnesses, and there are probably 20 to 30 that are not presumptives, but that are included in studies showing that this exposure creates these types of cancers and illnesses.
This sounds like one of those processes that's going to take years to play itself out. Am I being too pessimistic?
No, I think you're being realistic, but with this particular judge, he's not going to let everybody sit around and do nothing. He's going to keep this moving. His model is the World Trade Center litigation, in which not a single case was tried and every one of those cases got settled. And that's how he's setting this up. That's his goal, is to get the money in the hands of the vets ASAP.
Yeah, it doesn't do any good once people have passed away or they've gone through bankruptcy because of medical conditions. So, right. I mean, the sooner the better certainly would be the case. And we're talking to Catherine Grohl with MikeCoxLaw.com. She is concentrating all of her efforts at this point in helping Marines, family members, civilians who went through Camp Lejeune make claims over on the civil litigation side. First, you got to go to the Department of Navy, but it doesn't sound like they're really going to be able to analyze the claims. Well, we really do appreciate the time that you've given us today, Catherine. David, do you want to jump in and ask any questions of our expert lawyer here on litigation before we let her go?
No, but I think a lot of questions that I receive from my veterans is, well, if I file a claim, and what kind of the chatter we've heard is, okay, if we get money from the litigation, the lawyer gets half and the veteran gets half, and then they'll come after my Social Security. And so it's just been a lot of stuff out there that, as Carol Catherine said, that she... it's not positive right now, right? So we don't know for sure. So I can bring that back to my veterans going forward.
And that's a good question, David. Catherine, what is, does the Act set any sort of contingency percentage recovery? Boy, taking 50% seems like a big swipe.
Oh my God. I hope no one's taken 50%. I just don't see how that's even kosher. In Michigan, we're only allowed to take 1/3. And Mike's adamant that he wouldn't, even if we were able to take more, that's just not something that he can sit, that sits well with him. I can tell you that there are 2 bills pending. One is from Senator Sullivan from Alaska, and I think the other one is Senator Durbin, in which they're asking Congress to consider some limitations on the amount of attorney's fees. Those are in negotiation as well. The numbers being bandied about are 12% for administrative claim or 17% for a lawsuit. And, you know, no lawyers are going to take the cases at that level because these cases are timely and very expensive. So I think there's going to be a compromise in there, but 40 and 50% is just too high in our opinion. That's too much.
Yeah, that sounds a little unconscionable to me. VA, for those of you who may know or may not know, if you're doing a VA disability claim, VA has by statute said that 20% is a reasonable fee. So when you say 50, oh my goodness, that makes my heart stop.
Right. I didn't mean to scare anybody. That's just kind of
no, that's the problem. There's a lot of rumors on this stuff, and that's why we're doing Veterans Radio, to get the word out with experts who go to national conferences and have hundreds of claims and know people who have thousands of claims. Back last year, there was so much TV advertising, it just made your stomach churn. So it's good to talk to somebody who really has that sort of expertise and knows what's going on. General, any questions for Catherine before we let her go here at the bottom of the hour?
No, I just think it's really great to that she stressed those deadline dates, that the Camp Lejeune is 24, but the VBA side is August 9, 2003. And we've been stressing that in the office on the VBA side, that it's very critical that you get that in, even initial intent, because it will go back a year. I think that's absolutely critical. Catherine, thank you for bringing that up.
My pleasure.
And that's part of the reason we're concentrating today a lot on the PACT Act, is that there's some pending August deadlines that you ought to be thinking about. And if you're confused, reach out to your veteran service officer, your county counselor. If you're using a veteran disability lawyer, talk to them, or reach out if you're more interested on the civil litigation side to somebody like Catherine Grohl, who knows what they're doing in that. Many of us don't touch that aspect, so that's why we brought somebody on who really knows it. Catherine, I want to thank you for your time today and for all that you're doing for our Marines who had this toxic exposure.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, we're at about the bottom of the hour. We're at a point where I'm going to ask our board operator, Derek, to make sure that we have some lineup for a couple of our sponsors. And when he's ready, I'll throw it to him to do it. I'm getting the thumbs up. So we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors to talk about some more veteran benefit issues that you can call us on at 734-822-1600.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you were exposed to toxic substances in the military, a new law called the PACT Act may make you eligible for extra benefits and care. The PACT Act benefits veterans of the Vietnam, Gulf War, and post-9/11 eras. Learn more at va.gov/pact or call 1-800-MY-VA-411.
And we're back here live. One of the things I want to say to our veteran radio listeners, wherever you're listening to in the country, your local VA hospital is probably doing some sort of reach out here in early August about the PACT Act. And there's one I have in front of me. I thought maybe we'd have a representative from the VA on. But there is one set up for Friday, August 18th at the Howell VA Clinic. They're doing a PACT Act enrollment and resource fair, and they're not the only one. There's a big push by VA to get eligible veterans in on this, and it's really sort of interesting. VA just this week put out some statistics that between August 10th of 2022 and July 1st of 2023, the VA completed 353,000 PACT Act claims, and they approved 80% of them. So these are claims, the five most frequent conditions that were approved were hypertensive vascular disease, allergic rhinitis, maxillary sinusitis. Well, I should be having the general read these. I can't do it. Bronchial asthma and malignant growth of genitory systems. I don't even know what that is. But the point of it is they've changed the law. They've opened up this window for you to make your claims, and don't just assume VA said, "Oh, they're going to deny everything," and they're not. They're pretty transparent about what they do when they put it out and say, "Well, this is what we did." Some of them get denied, some of them don't. Hypertensive, for example, is 80% were granted. When you get down to sinusitis, it's only 45%, and allergic rhinitis is only 82% granted. So they tell you what's granted and not. Too many times we talk to folks who feel hopeless about this. And David, I guess I'm wondering if, as you talk, veterans come in at the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs about burn pit exposure. What are you hearing, and is what you're hearing kind of matching up with reality?
Yeah, and the big key is, okay, so the PAC Act covers many countries. If you were in one of those, and the time frames, so if you were there, and this is how I explain to all my veterans, okay, you have to have like three different pillars if you were there, and then you have a diagnosed condition that's on the list, it is presumed that it was because of that area you were in. Sometimes when you have denials is they don't have a diagnosis, so they need to go see their doctor to get that diagnosis. And that is, you know, if you were there and you have one of these conditions, we just need a diagnosis, whether it's at the VA or if it's at your private medical provider. That's the key, is getting that diagnosed. And then also, I mean, we are stressing the August 9th deadline for the PACT Act, but just remember, if you don't file an intent and then you come down with one of these conditions, please see a service officer, because you can still file for it. It just goes to the date of the claim, not to when they made the legislation. So I'm pushing that out as well.
So, General, we're using phrases like intent to file. Catherine used them. David just used them. We're all familiar with them because it's what we do. But can you explain to the general public here, General, what is intent to file?
Well, it's what exactly David said. You're talking to an expert out there, and a lot of times the veterans will do it themselves. I'm not going to encourage that, because if the forms are filled out incompletely or incorrectly, and they're sent back or denied, go to a county counselor or, you know, someone that knows at the VA how to fill out these forms. You're sending in the intent to get the rest of the information on the form so that you could put in for a claim. The one thing I wanted to talk to David about, or bring to our audience, that I think is real important. We're seeing a lot of this, and we're getting calls. So the calls are, hey, I have a 80 or 100% disability rating, and now you have the PAC Act, and I've come up with hypertension or ischemic heart disease, and it's one of the presumptives clearly within the PAC Act. I've never claimed that before. Should I put in for it? And our answer in the office has been yes, put in for it, because you need, down the line, if something else happens, you've got to get this on your record to go after it, because this is what happened to you as you were servicing. David, do you agree with that? Are you telling our veterans as they come into your office to file a claim on these new presumptives?
Oh, yes, totally. And the biggest thing is, we've gotten a lot of feedback about hypertension with our Vietnam veterans, and it comes back at zero because you're taking medication and you're keeping your blood pressure down, and that's good because we want to still have you here, right? You don't want to stop taking your meds and then go to the exam. But there are secondary conditions to hypertension as well. So if you have anything that your service connected for and you have a secondary condition because of that main condition, you can file for that. Or let's say you had radiation or the medication had another condition pop up because of that, you can claim that as secondary. So you want to make sure that, we want to make sure the veterans know that it's just not useless if you get a zero. Not at all, because if you have secondary conditions from that, you can claim it.
Well, this raises a question. We got a question from David down in Florida about, hey, I'm a little scared to ask for an increased rating because maybe they'll lower my rating. Again, in the area of rumors that you hear and have to deal with, David, is that something that you hear? Can you respond to David in Florida?
Well, you want to be concerned if you're reopening a claim that you're already service connected, like you know, mental health condition, right? So if you reopen because you think it's gotten worse, it can go up or it could go down. It's not protected unless it's 20 years. Now, if you file a claim for hypertension and you go get all your care at the VA, and they can look at your records, and if they see something that improved that your service connected for, they can reopen it. I don't see it that often, but I do let our veterans know, and that's, you know, I just want everybody to be prepared when they leave my office, right?
Carol Ann, do you see many people who put in for increased rating? Obviously, they must feel that their condition's worse, but have you seen many people who put in for increased rating and then get a reduction in the rating because they're actually better and they didn't know it?
No, not when we're putting in for an increased rating, and I'm sure David does too. We really look at the health records. We look at the medical documentation. You know, as a nurse, I want to see the parameters. If it's no matter what it is, cardiac, respiratory, I look at those parameters. And if I have those tests in front of me that indicate your condition has gotten worse, then that's when we're encouraging you to go in and put for the increase, whether, you know, you're a 30%, but now with your findings, your objective data, you should be at a 50% rating. We're not telling the VA what your rating should be. We're sending in your documentation from your physician, the exams and the testing. They will test you also, but we're asking for the increased rating for that area of their disability rating. I haven't seen too much. I think Jim and Dave, you might see this. It's really discouraging for a veteran sometimes, and we've talked about it, when a veteran has a tumor or some type of a disease pattern, they're at 100%, and they go and have surgery, and it's removed, and now they drop significantly. And then I think Dave brought up a good point. Then we really have to start fighting and looking for the secondary causes, whether, you know, there's secondary that now has happened. But usually we try to do our homework when we're going after an increase.
Well, I think that really is the answer maybe to David in Florida, is that if you're worried about that, you should be talking to a professional. You should be talking to your county counselor or a VSO or your disability lawyer and lay out the facts. Get the medical records in front of them and let them guide you a little bit about, yeah, it is worse than it was when you got rated, or, you know, it looks about the same. I don't, you know, ultimately it's the veteran's choice, but I suspect, David, you go through that same thing about, you got to tell me more about why you think you need an increased rating, not just because you'd like some more money, right?
Yeah, that's just all about the evidence, like the general was saying. It's, you know, if it's warranted, then yes, and I'm all about filing for increases and, like I said, secondary. It's just it's based on the medical evidence. The VA is not looking to, you know, lower your rating just because they like to. You know, they want, the evidence is there, they want to. There's many veterans that work at the VA, and they're proud in what they do for the veterans. And if it's there, they're more than likely going to give it to you.
Again, that intent to file is a pretty simple form. You don't have to have all the information pulled together, all the medical records at that point. David mentioned it. The general mentioned it. So that intent to file form, again, is simple enough. Probably you can do it by yourself, but I'd get somebody who knows what they're doing, get a VSO, get a county counselor, get somebody from your knowledge base group, maybe it's a disability lawyer, and submit that for the PACT Act to get retroactive payments back to August 10, 2022. I believe you have to have that filed before August 10th of this year, which means August 9th. That's before August 10th. So that's why you've heard that date kicked around here on this program. David, beyond PACT Act, are you seeing any other new patterns coming in through the office?
I think the only patterns I've been seeing, I think the different branches of their services are doing way better for their when they're getting out of the service is saying, hey, you need to go see your local county VSO or a VSO in that area, because I'm seeing a lot more retirees or people getting out, or they have 3 to 6 months then they're about to get out. And so BDD claims, or those are claims that they're still in the service, but maybe they have terminal leave. And so they'll start their claim. So I've been seeing a lot more of that. I mean, we only have Selfridge, and so Macomb sees a lot more of that. Ingham County over in Lansing, they have a big reserve unit, so they see a lot of them there. But that has been a big uptick in our office, is those people just getting out.
Yeah, I think the services are all doing better after our 20-year war to make sure that those who are getting out or retiring, those are sort of two separate camps, but yeah, that all of them are getting better advice on what the future might hold, whether it be jobs, how to get jobs, or, hey, you need to file for some benefits. And the statistics are pretty clear that today's veteran tends to file more claims, more individual body part problems than back in the day, right? And I think that's just a more knowledgeable veteran base and a more knowledgeable base of VSOs and county counselors and disability lawyers who are trying to make sure that their veterans get everything covered. Carol Ann, is there anything that you've been seeing in the office lately that you wanted to bring to the attention of folks?
Well, I just think people, as the awareness with the PAC Act, and, you know, people are calling in, they're trying to ask, am I eligible for benefits? And once again, I think the awareness that for widows, you know, my husband was involved during this period of time. The same for with when you had Catherine on, the fact that, you know, my husband did serve at Camp Lejeune, and now this is happening to our family. Are we eligible? And the answers are yes. And to do the substitution claims for disability claims if the veteran should die. So we're getting a lot of questions, which is great, and the awareness. I think with the VA, and maybe I don't know if you're seeing this also, David, but the questions with community care and making sure that exams and things are done a lot quicker, and getting some of that advocacy with the VA. You know, how do they get their questions and some of that done, exams done quicker? And so, you know, we're continually getting the questions in the office just to help our veterans and make them more aware.
Well, certainly. Yeah. Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
And just a follow up, just to make sure when QT, you know, the compensation and pension examiners call and say, hey, we have you scheduled here, and maybe it's too far for you, and you can talk to them and say, listen, I need something closer. I don't need that date. It's not always set in stone. So the person on the other line, they should give you some options. And then if you're going 50 miles, you say, well, that's too far. You know, I got to get it closer. And they can do that.
Well, that brings up a good point. The one thing you shouldn't do, right, David, is miss the exam. Ignore the exam date.
You're totally correct on that. Don't miss the exam. That's one thing that I always tell my vets, don't miss that exam. If, you know, if they call you and it's too far, you got to let them know. Say, I need it closer. I need it on a different date, because you don't want to miss it, because then it's just going to get denied.
Yeah. Even if something comes up and you can't make the date you agreed to, call and rearrange it. Right, Carol Ann?
Absolutely. I mean, we had one a couple weeks ago that luckily the veteran called us right away and said he got in the mail a denial for his claim because he didn't show up for the appointment. He never knew he had an appointment. So we made a call in, and you know, we called and said, he never knew, he never got a piece of paper, he never got a phone call, and they reset it. They gave him another appointment. And I think that is really critical, because if you don't show, what are they going to do? They'll deny it. And that goes against you. And so please call us and let us know if something is going on to help you.
But I've also come into where they've been denied because they didn't show back 50 years ago. And you can reopen that. I'm ready, willing, and able. And that's new and material evidence. So in order to open a denied claim, you need new and material evidence. Well, if you never show to the exam, you can just put that in there and say, I'd like to reopen. I'm ready, willing, and able to show to the exam. So if you do miss it, it's not the end of the world. VSOs, you know, the disability lawyers and VSOs can reopen it. So don't just say, oh, it's done. It's not possible.
Yeah, you get, everybody gets frustrated. But again, that's why you go to somebody, a professional like David is with the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. And you say, hey, I got myself in a jam. Admit it. Can you get me out of it? And oftentimes the tricks of the trade, if you want to call it that, you know how to work around the jam the veteran got himself in. And you probably see that every week, that somebody got themselves in a jam and you have to help get them out of it.
That's correct. Yes.
So we have a little bit of time left, and I want to cover this because it was mentioned last month on the benefits program. We got a caller last month. I think that's how it started. Who was concerned about the caregivers program and what hoops he was being required to jump through, and it's kind of a confusing program. And I know Carol Ann, you spent a lot of time on the phone with him, but even probably more time on the phone with VA, because once you got on the trail of, yeah, they don't know what they're doing, or it's not clear what they're doing, it resulted in many phone calls. Why don't you explain what you were able to help this veteran with?
Well, he's outstanding veteran, and I won't mention his name, but he was involved and he was approved for one of the legs of this process. The caregivers has three different ways to enter the program. It's the family care, where you need to be 70% to 100% disabled. Then it's the general caregivers, family caregivers. And then this veteran that called in was with the direct, where he was able to purchase, because he had his own budget once he was approved, he was able to hire his own caregivers. And he was working with the Senior Alliance, and he wanted the regulation as to why he had to report monthly all of the actions that were going on. We did work through that and the requirements, and I hope he felt comfortable. It certainly helped me also, as I communicated with back and forth with the VA, to understand the three different levels. And then we even had some more individuals calling in. So if you are trying to get family caregivers or direct caregivers or general, please talk to your team at the VA. Let your physician group, let your team know that you need this assistance, and they could help you get approved and work with you. And it's the social work department at the VA. They're awesome to help you. You do have somebody assigned that will help you immensely. And with the family caregivers, where you have that disability rating, they are the ones that could approve that program locally. If they deny it, then it has to go into the appeal process, which could take a greater length of time. It could go up through either the supplemental route or the BVA route. So we've been working with different claims in all three levels. And so I think we got our veteran taken care of, but it certainly opened up a lot of questions in all three levels at very high levels through the VA, as I talked to many, many people about getting literally all the paperwork to support what he was asking.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you go like, I'll play by the rules, just tell me what the rules are, and nobody can give a straight answer as to what the rules are or where you can go read them. And I know he was very frustrated, and it, as I say, it took a good portion of time to sort it all out and get him what he was looking for. But it does highlight there are a lot of great benefits from VA. You have to know about them and be able to access them. And you probably run into some of that as well, David, with people, whether it's community care or caregivers in the community, sort of how do I work my way through the process?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we do a lot of compensation and pension claims. And then we, like the general said, we refer to the VA to guide us on programs that we don't do every day, like the caregiver program. And it's just, if we don't know the answers, we're going to get the answers for you, definitely.
And I think one of the things that your county counselor or your VSO has is a working relationship with the VA in their local area, wherever you are in the nation. And they have, I guess I'd say, contacts or phone numbers, or they know who the helpful people are to call. And that's something the ordinary veteran calling an 800 number gets so frustrated about, is they can't find access to that information. I suspect you got a handful of folks, David, you know you can call. And if they don't know the right answer, they'll send you to somebody you can, and then that's how you get that information sorted out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have, you know, many contacts at the Detroit Regional Office for claims side, and then pension side in Milwaukee, and then the Ann Arbor VA. And those contacts, when I don't know something, I'm going to get to you the answer. And it's very beneficial. So with the vet sitting in front of me, and by the end of the conversation, I usually can get them an answer of why or what direction we need to go to, right?
Well, in general, I know that's what you do. You got a list of phone numbers and you're willing to call them, aren't you?
Well, I am, Jim. And David, you just gave an excellent a toolbox on the VBA side, but we need to remember the Family Caregivers Program is VHA, and that's in the healthcare tower. And for what I could tell our listeners and veterans and their family, if you're having some issues in the hospital system, whether it's in the clinic or in a VHA medical center, find the patient advocate. Go to the patient advocate's office or the public affairs officer. If our Brian Hayes would have been on today, Brian would have said, oh, Carol Ann. But I'm telling you, they are great resources because they will try to literally get those patients, those veterans taken care of, to go back to whether it's handled one last week with Milwaukee, to whether it's the surgeon's office or primary care, to get to the root of the issue. So they're really great to try to help you.
I think that's also confusing for veterans, because I can be talking about, you know, VBA or benefits and disability in one column, and and who do I talk to, but I also just came from the hospital and I have this problem. Well, that's a different group, and I need a different set of phone numbers, and I need different contact people. That's where your VSO, your county counselor, goes, okay, I know the difference, and I know the guy to call or the gal to call. And if they don't know, they're going to point me somewhere. And I suspect that's your Rolodex splits down the middle like that as well, David.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it can be complicated. They want to be veteran-centric. They want to be veteran-friendly. But any bureaucracy as big as the VA is, there are times when, boy, you know, unless you're dogged, you're not gonna make your way through it. And I think many veterans just get frustrated and hang up the phone and just complain about it rather than turning to somebody who's worked the issue before and gotten back to it. So, David, any last words here that you want to pass on to the Veteran Radio listening audience?
Just get that intent to file in 210966. And you can also call the VA 800-827-1000. And they can put the intent in over the phone as well. So get that in. And if, let's say, you don't get one of those presumptive conditions, that will fall off after a year. So it's no harm. But getting that placeholder and you get one of these conditions, it's going to benefit you more because it's going to backdate more.
Yeah, take advantage of that. It would be foolish to just let it slip by, and that's why we spent so much time on it today. We're really trying to encourage folks to do that. General, any last words you want to pass along?
No, I think that was great advice, and August 9 is coming up very quickly. The other thing we talked, Jim, just quickly about VBA, VHA, we get calls all the time on the cemetery side, and we do get calls, you know, what to do when a loved one dies, and they are fabulous to help us. So, reach out, and there are great people in the community willing to help you, but please reach out.
So as we come to the end here, I want to remind folks that Veterans Radio had this month celebrated its 1,000th program. Dale and I, last two shows ago, did that live and had a great time doing that. We have our 20th year coming up. You can always keep on what we're doing on Facebook or veteransradio.org. And until next time, you are dismissed.